Obviously, we're going to be talking about a lot of things. We will, of course, be talking about China, but the center of our conversations will be about jobs and growth, critical minerals, and fighting climate change and continuing to build an economy across our continent that works for all of our citizens.
I think we need to be clear that we will stand with the Americans for a stronger military and stronger continental defense to keep all of our people safe.
The Prime Minister first, followed by the leader of the Federal Conservative Party, Pierre Poilievre, weighing in on what's on the table for U.S. President Joe Biden's visit to this country. He arrives in Ottawa tomorrow night. He's here for just over 24 hours. You heard the Prime Minister lay out there what his priorities going into that meeting are. Let's talk a little bit more now about what else should be perhaps on the table. My next guest has a lot to say about that. Vincent Rigby is a former national security and intelligence advisor to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. He's also a visiting professor at the Max Bell School of Public Policy at McGill University. Hi, Mr. Rigby. Good to see you. Good to have you on our program today.
Hi, Vanessa. Good to speak to you again. How are you?
I'm great. I appreciate you making the time. I read with great interest your op-ed in the Globe and Mail and wanted to get some more perspective from you on it. You wrote in that opinion piece that it will be up to Mr. Trudeau to reassure Mr. Biden that Canada takes security seriously. Why do you think security should be at the top or near the top of the agenda for this visit?
I think it should be at the top of the agenda for the Prime Minister because it's going to be top of the agenda for President Biden. And I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to be coming into this meeting thinking big picture. And the big picture for him right now is the situation in the Indo-Pacific region with China, the situation in Eastern Europe, with the Russian invasion of Ukraine. You have a very aggressive North Korea and issues around its nuclear program, Iran, great powers, middle powers, very unpredictable and dangerous world. I've suggested in that op-ed that it's probably more unpredictable and dangerous than at any time since the end of the Second World War. And so if President Biden's going to come in and want to talk about this, I would be advising the Prime Minister, be preemptive and tell the President exactly how Canada is going to respond to this situation, whether it's domestically in North America or internationally.
If the desire is to seek to reassure the president that that is the case, how should the federal government and more specifically the prime minister go about doing that? Like, what could we do to provide that reassurance?
Well, there's all kinds of different things. And the way I stated in the article is that it's almost like three concentric circles. Start domestically. The president is probably going to raise, I would say undoubtedly going to raise, foreign interference activities by China. We've been seeing this playing out over the last month or so. So what is Canada going to do in response to hostile state activities by countries like China, not just in terms of calling a public inquiry or having NSI Copper and CIRA, the review bodies look at this stuff, but concretely, what is Canada going to do? So, put together a strategy to counter hostile state activities, not just foreign interference, but cyber and disinformation, intellectual property theft, et cetera. In North America, I think it's about the Arctic. What can we do with the United States to really protect our Arctic sovereignty and to respond to possible incursions by the Russians or the Chinese, and in particular NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command. We need to upgrade the NORAD agreement, the North Warning System. The radar system is woefully out of date. It's based on 50-year-old technology. Canada has committed to putting up $5 billion to help with that upgrade, but I don't think that's the whole bill. And so the United States is going to be asking Canada, what more money are you going to put in and how fast can you do this? So I think Canada needs a commitment there. And then finally, internationally, that last concentric circle is, okay, what happens if the situation gets worse in Ukraine? What happens if it escalates? What happens if China invades Taiwan? What does Canada have left in the cupboard to help? And if you listen to the chief of the defense staff in Canada, we don't have much. Mm-hmm. And so, he has stated publicly that the military that we have today is not the military we need for tomorrow. And quite frankly, tomorrow's here. These threats are very, very real. So they've been talking about a defense update for months and months and months now. It's overdue. So it'd be nice if the prime minister could say to the president, we've got a defense policy update coming out very soon, and we're going to put the resources in it to make sure that we've got a military that can operate in some very difficult situations, potentially internationally.
That's what I wanted to ask you. I'll start on that last circle. And in particular, we have this update that's going on. And to give the government credit, they actually have allocated and even spent more money than previous governments on defense. But it's still NATO came out with their annual report, for example, yesterday. We're sitting at around 1.3% of GDP spending. When you say attach resources, like as soon as the next budget, should there be evidence of that?
So you're absolutely right, Bassey. This government has responded. They had an update of the defense policy in 2017, Strong, Secure, and Engaged. They have devoted resources to it. But I think one of the problems is that right across national security, not just defense, but security intelligence as well, it's often piecemeal. There's no coherent strategy. There's no real plan to pull it all together in terms of how we're going to respond to threats at home and internationally. And yeah, we've done some good stuff. We bought the F-35s finally. It took us 25 years, but we finally bought these aircraft, and we did put $5 billion towards NORAD, although it's probably not enough. So a little bit here, a little bit there. But the problem is we're starting from a very deep hole. You hit the nail on the head. It's 1.2% of GDP. I'm not a big fan of you've got to be at 2%. I know it's a NATO standard, but you do the best you possibly can. But that deep hole is going to be difficult to dig out of. And what we're hearing from the chief of the defense staff is that we've got a shortage of 10,000 personnel, so we don't even have the people to do the jobs, and that our readiness, that means our equipment, our ability to deploy quickly, our readiness is going down while the threats are going up. Those are almost literally his words. So, I think we do need an infusion quickly. It's difficult to spend money in defense. I spent 15 years of my career there. There are procurement issues. But let's find out where some of the priorities are. And I would suggest we start in the Arctic. What are we going to do up in the Arctic? We've been talking a great game for many long years. So why can't we maybe focus on the Arctic in particular and some expeditionary capability as well?
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, because I spoke with Ambassador Cohen, the U.S. ambassador to Canada, over the weekend. And I have to say, like, that's where he wanted to go for most of the interview, right? He was very focused on, in particular, what has been promised for NORAD, but the timing of it as well. He seemed to want to convey that the Americans are not really apprised of the speed with which those resources will be deployed, to exactly what, if there's more going to be made available, as you indicated both in the op-ed and today in this interview. How important do you think it is for the Prime Minister during this visit to say, okay, we've got this money, here's when it's going to be making its way to the things that need to be done in upgrading those warning systems, et cetera?
I think that's a great, great point. It's not just a matter of what you say, but it's what you do. And so actions are going to speak louder than words in this respect. So I think it's really important that the Prime Minister not just present a plan, but also how that plan is going to be implemented, timelines, et cetera, and the resources. So, we put up $5 billion. We're going to put up another $5 billion. I throw that figure out there. I don't know if that's the right figure or not. Mm-hmm. But we're going to do it according to these timelines. We're going to do X, Y, and Z in the Arctic. We're going to finally speed up the deployment of Arctic patrol ships. We're going to finally finalize that refueling facility in Nanisivik, concrete things that we're going to do, and we're going to do fast. That's what the Americans want to see. I was in Washington last week, and I heard the same thing, that they are concerned about the speed with which we are proceeding with the NORAD upgrade. And I think Kirsten Hillman, our wonderful ambassador in Washington for Canada, she acknowledged that publicly, that the Americans want to see this sped up. So this is something where the Prime Minister can make some headway. I'm not suggesting that we go the way of Australia and we buy five nuclear powered submarines, right, tomorrow, or we buy an aircraft carrier or those sorts of things. But in targeted areas, we can probably do a little bit better. And it'd be nice if we could fix our procurement process, because that's part of the problem too. Like I said, everyone's right, pointing towards the F-35s, and isn't this wonderful news? Yeah, it is great news. But we're still not going to see the first for 4 or 5 years, I don't believe. And it took us 25 years. I was working on that file in the late 1990s.
Oh, boy.
I worked in the Department of National Defense.
Okay, Mr. Rigby, I got to go. I'm so sorry. I'm out of time. I appreciate your time. Vincent Rigby is a former National Security Advisor to Prime Minister Trudeau.